Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 7th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
global stocks slump after yesterday's rally.
Coronavirus cases climb in the South while warning signs emerge in New Jersey.
Dr. Anthony Fauci warns on the long-term effectiveness of a vaccine.
And Washington prepares for work on another round of stimulus.
Governor Cuomo says New York is holding its own in controlling COVID-19. Plus, the white woman who called the NYPD on a black bird watcher has been charged. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets and Yankees schedules are out, and there's a new highest paid player in the NFL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are falling this morning after yesterday's rally. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 28 points, Dow futures down 282, NASDAQ futures down 51, the DAX in Germany is down 1.4%, CAC in Paris down 1.2%, and the FTSE 100 down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.66%, the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.25% or 51 cents at $40.13 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $9.70 at $17.83.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1273 against the dollar, and the yen is at 107.72. Nathan.
Karen, coronavirus infections across the country are climbing, and state and local officials continue to clash over what measures to take. In Florida, Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez is rolling back reopening plans, closing restaurants and gyms.
What we need is a plan and a strategy that is long-term and that is calculated to defeat COVID-19 in our community.
At the same time, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is reassuring residents there's little to fear from the outbreak.
There's no need to really be fearful about it. I mean, we can talk about the different steps that individuals can take, you know, that we're going to take statewide. But at the end of the day, you know, this is something that's been around for quite some time.
The latest data show Florida cases hitting a record on a rolling 7-day basis.
In California, the rate of infections continues to climb, yet plans for a slow reopening continue. And here with the latest is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The governor says positivity rates continue to grow quickly.
We were at 4.9% positivity rate just 14 days ago, and now again it's 6.8%. You look at the 7-day positivity rate, it's now over 7%.
And he says hospitalization is up 50% over the 14-day average. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy is growing concerned about a climbing transmission rate.
For every new case of COVID we are seeing, that case is leading to at least one other new case. This means increasing rate of spread statewide. This is an early warning sign that, quite frankly, we need to do more.
Murphy says infections brought from other states helped drive New Jersey's transmission rate to the highest level in 10 weeks. The state has a mandatory self-quarantine in place for travelers from 16 states.
Any vaccine to ward off the virus could be limited in how long it protects against infection. That's according to Dr. Anthony Fauci.
We're going to assume that there's a degree of protection, but we have to assume that it's going to be finite. It's not going to be like a measles vaccine. So there's going to be follow-up in those cases to see if we might need a boost.
Fauci says initial vaccine should be enough to get us through the first cycle of the virus. He still expects word on the viability of a shot by year's end.
For lawmakers in Washington, the question is how to keep the economy afloat as we wait for a vaccine. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. The fight against COVID-19 promises to drag on, and that reality is setting in for the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
We had hoped we'd be on the way to saying goodbye to this healthcare pandemic. Clearly, it is not over.
McConnell expects Congress to pass one final coronavirus rescue bill later this month. Meantime, the Labor Secretary, Eugene Scalia, pins hopes for a quick recovery on states reopening despite rising cases. He spoke on Bloomberg's Balance of Power.
We can continue to safely reopen as long as we're careful. And again, as long as we bear in mind the lesson that we've observed in California, Arizona, and elsewhere.
Scalia tells us there are no plans to extend unemployment benefits beyond their current scope. He expects extra $600 a week benefits to expire at the end of this month as scheduled. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Global stocks are lower after yesterday's rally. Chinese equities were the lone bright spot in Asia overnight. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The CSI 300 held on to five-year highs, up another 0.6% on the close, while the Shanghai Composite had a more modest gain of 0.4%, rising for a sixth session. The offshore yuan briefly strengthened through the 7 per dollar level for the first time since March. Elsewhere, equity markets fell in Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Singapore. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Tensions are rising in Hong Kong as police are given sweeping new powers under China's new national security law. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
Police can now search a premises without a warrant issued by a judge. They can conduct online surveillance and seize electronic devices. Officers can freeze assets and seize property if the security minister says it's warranted. And they can take your travel documents and prevent you from leaving Hong Kong. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo calls it Orwellian censorship. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. On the corporate front, we have earnings from Samsung. Profits beat estimates thanks to increased chip demand. Gadget sales are also showing signs of recovering. The strong results from Samsung suggest the tech industry could be climbing back from the pandemic.
Bayer, known as Bayer in the U.S., has seen its Roundup settlement hit a roadblock. A federal judge asked to oversee the lawsuits has tentatively rejected the proposal. He's calling for a court hearing later this month, and shares of Bayer are down almost 6.5% in Frankfurt.
Watching shares in Novavax this morning up more than 28% in early trading. It reported funding from Operation Warp Speed to a total of $1.6 billion for COVID-19 development for the manufacturing of a vaccine candidate. We'll be watching shares of Novavax throughout the morning. Futures are lower this morning. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thanks. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Now let's get more of what's happening around the world from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state is holding its own in controlling the coronavirus. Cuomo says in the 7-week stretch since the start of reopening the state, we're actually down from where we were since the beginning. As for New York City, Cuomo urged residents to remain vigilant.
New Yorkers did the impossible. We went from the worst infection rate in the United States to the best infection rate in the United States. I like to say that we crossed the mountain.
New York City entered phase 3 of reopening yesterday. Westchester and Hudson Valley enter phase 4 today. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy talked about his plans for reopening the state.
Summer camp and educational programs for our youth have been green-lighted to reopen. Outdoor graduations may be held to celebrate the class of 2020, and NJ Transit returned to its full weekday schedule. We are continuing down our road back.
Governor Ned Lamont says Connecticut will delay phase 3 of its reopening indefinitely to avoid the COVID-19 resurgences other states are seeing. Connecticut was set to begin phase 3 on July 20th. Atlanta's mayor says he has tested positive for COVID-19 despite having what she describes as no symptoms. Keisha Lance Bottom says her symptoms were more like her seasonal allergies. The 50-year-old Democrat is among the women named as a potential running mate for presumptive presidential nominee Joe Biden. A white woman who called the police on a black man watching birds in Central Park in May has been charged with falsely reporting an incident, a misdemeanor. Amy Cooper had accused Christian Cooper of threatening to attack her after he asked her to keep her dog on a leash. Cooper is scheduled to be arraigned for arraignment on October. She faces up to a year in jail and probation. Jeffrey Epstein's longtime confidant, Ghislaine Maxwell, has been transferred from a New England jail to Brooklyn to face charges she recruited girls for him to sexually abuse. The 58-year-old was arrested last week. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashire.
Thanks, Nathan. Move over. Mike Trout. His contract with the Angels is for a mere $425 million guaranteed. Patrick Mahomes' new 10-year extension with the Kansas City Chiefs is for $477 million. He could make $503 million. Yes, over half a billion. Although in the NFL, no sure thing, Mahomes is still playing in Kansas City when the deal ends in 2031. The contract is staggering. Mahomes is only 24 years old, sat on the bench as a rookie and then won an MVP and then won a Super Bowl. It had already been widely reported, the Yankees' first game July 23rd in Washington, and now the entire schedule is out. After three games in D.C., the Yanks move up to Philadelphia for two, and then they host the Phillies for two. As for Subway Series games that you cannot take a Subway and attend, Yanks and Mets starting August 21st at Citi Field, and then a week later in the Bronx, the Mets opener July 24th at home against Atlanta. At least that's the plan. The Dodgers' Mookie Betts and the Cardinals' Andrew Miller have both publicly stated they still have doubts as to whether there's really going to be a season. Atlanta outfielder Nick Markakis is the latest player to opt out, and three teams, the Nationals, Astros, and Cardinals, had to cancel their workouts yesterday because they had not yet gotten back results of COVID tests that were taken last Friday. Widely reported, the Stanley Cup playoff games will be held in Toronto and Edmonton, and now word that the Cup final series will be in Edmonton. Next week's PGA event, the Memorial in Ohio, was to be the first to allow in fans, but with the virus surging, they've changed their mind. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And, John, there's not much evidence of love for tennis as colleges look to trim their athletic budgets during the pandemic. According to the Associated Press, tennis programs are the only sports to be eliminated by more than four Division I schools since the outbreak began. The head of the Intercollegiate Tennis Association says many of the cuts may have already been in the books, so it might have been easier to make them now when people are focused on the virus. S&P futures are lower by 29 points. Dow futures down 291. NASDAQ futures down 52 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burton serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burtonllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We continue to watch shares of Novavax. They're up 35% around now. And we told you earlier, after it was awarded a $1.6 billion in funding from Operation Warp Speed to support large-scale manufacturing of a COVID-19 vaccine, those shares are moving higher this morning. That crossing the Bloomberg just a couple of minutes ago. S&P futures are down 30 points this morning. Dow futures down 308. NASDAQ futures down 62. The DAX in Germany is down 1.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32 yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 56 cents at $40.07 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $8.90 at $1,784.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1278 against the dollar. British pound 1.2483 and the yen 107.68. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. death rate from COVID-19 has surpassed 130,000. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
And Michael, infection rates across the country are climbing. Florida cases hit a new high on a rolling seven-day basis. Still, Governor Ron DeSantis there is reassuring residents there's little to fear from the outbreak. That's leading to a clash with local officials. Miami-Dade's mayor is rolling back reopening plans. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy says infections brought from other states helped drive New Jersey's coronavirus transmission rate to the highest level in 10 weeks. And in California, the rate of positive infections continues to climb as plans for slow reopening continue. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp declared a state of emergency and ordered the National Guard into Atlanta to protect government buildings after protests against racial injustice turned violent over the weekend. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Sam Stovall joins us now, Chief Investment Officer at CFRA, as we continue to watch the pullback for equities after five straight sessions of gains for the S&P 500. I wonder, Sam, if you see any further upside for this market, or do you think we've hit a resistance level?
Well, first off, good morning. No, morning. I think there's still some upside for this market. Right now, as investors are entering the second quarter earnings reporting period, they realize that all 11 sectors are expected to post declines, that 90% of the 125 sub-industries are expected to post year-over-year declines, and with the market itself expected to be down 45% in terms of earnings, investors are saying, how could it get any worse? So investors are essentially saying, if I'm going to be surprised, I'll probably be surprised to the upside. And today's negative futures are probably just reflecting a digestion of the recent advance.
Well, what do you make of the economic data we've seen thus far? Obviously, we got another positive jobs report in the U.S. last week. At the same time, we're seeing worse than expected data out of Germany on the industrial side. What implications could that have for the markets going forward?
Well, I think that based on how strong the U.S. economic data is, people are really just looking for anything that might be contrary to that trend. So maybe the German data is something that would be supportive of the recent IMF downgrade of economic growth for Europe. Our expectation is that globally we should be seeing a minus 3.7% GDP for the globe, rising 5.4% next year, whereas with euro down 8.2% this year and then up 5.5% next year. So we still have a lot of negative news regarding economies around the globe for this year, but we're actually seeing better than expected results, such as the recent ISM number here in the U.S., that causes investors to say, you know, things are getting better as the year progresses.
Does the pullback that we're seeing in Europe potentially have an effect on your outlook for the economy for the U.S.? Does it potentially pose a drag?
Well, all of the economies are tethered like mountain climbers. We really don't have any economy that is decoupled, if you will. The U.S. economy is the lead climber, if you will. And if all of the other economies slip and fall, well, then they will drag us down with them. But expectations are that we are likely to see a mid-single-digit improvement in GDP growth in 2021. Earnings on a developed international basis are expected to be up 50% next year, emerging markets up 30%, and up a similar amount here in the U.S. So I think investors are looking beyond the valley, looking beyond 2020, and focusing on next year.
Obviously, you're a student of past rallies. What does your study of the history of the averages tell us about where we may be headed?
Well, first off, we suffered through what I call a garden variety bear market, a decline of 20 to 40%. History tells us that on average it takes 14 months to hit a new all-time high. But then there's a reminder that, yeah, 1966, 1982, and 1990, we actually got back to break even and then some in fewer than 7 months. So I guess this bull market is trying to break that record and establish a new all-time high, certainly before the year is out.
Does the speed at which the decline came have any effect on how quickly the recovery could come, do you think?
Yes, I think so. Primarily because we had a real V-shaped decline. We crossed the 20% decline threshold in only 22 calendar days, which was twice as fast as 1987. We hit bottom with 33 calendar days, which was three times as fast as 1987. And a lot of technicians have been expecting there to be resistance at different rising resistance levels, Fibonacci levels, that the market has simply blown past. So sort of a digestion. But if you look to the Fed model, which incorporates the investment grade yield with the earnings forecast, we could be seeing the market up 13% in the next 12 months.
All right.
Sam Stovall, good to have you on with us this morning. That's Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Officer at CFRA. S&P futures are down 27 points right now. Dow futures lower by 277. NASDAQ futures down 54 points. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are lower after yesterday's rally. Coronavirus cases continue to rise across the country. In Florida, Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez is backtracking on reopening plans.
The rollback includes gyms, large venues, casinos, and Airbnbs.
The mayor is also closing restaurants after data show Florida infections hitting a record on a rolling seven-day basis.
Dr. Anthony Fauci pins the surge in southern cases to early reopening plans.
With various states and cities trying to open up in the sense of getting back to some form of normality has led to a situation where we now had record breaking cases.
Across the country, daily infections are up 2%. That's an increase over last week's average.
Still, there's no call from the White House to halt reopening plans. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John, good morning.
And Karen, the administration is pinning hopes for a quick recovery on states reopening despite rising cases. Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia says precautions are necessary.
We still need to practice social distancing. When that's not possible, quite often we're going to need to wear masks, and that's being reinforced.
When it comes to economic measures, Scalia tells us there are no plans to extend unemployment benefits beyond their current scope. He expects extra $600 a week benefits to expire at the end of this month as scheduled. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. On the corporate front, shares of Novavax are up 46% in early trading. That's after the Maryland company received $1.6 billion in funding from Operation Warp Speed. The award will fund late-stage clinical trials for a coronavirus vaccine being developed by Novavax.
Samsung is out with earnings that beat estimates thanks to increased chip demand. Gadget sales also showed signs of recovering. The results from Samsung suggest the tech industry could be climbing back from the pandemic.
And Bayer, known as Bayer in the U.S., has seen its Roundup settlement hit a roadblock. A federal judge asked to oversee the lawsuits has tentatively rejected the proposal. He's calling for a court hearing later this month. Shares of Bayer are down almost 7% in Frankfurt.
And futures are moving lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 27 points this morning. Dow futures down 265 and NASDAQ futures down 51. The 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 62 cents at $40.01 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $10.10 at $17.83.10 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. And Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Phase 4 reopening begins today in New York's Westchester and Rockland counties. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state is holding its own in controlling the coronavirus. Cuomo says in the 7-week stretch since the start of reopening the state, we're actually down from where we were since the beginning. The governor also says President Trump must admit COVID-19 is a major problem if he doesn't want to be a, quote, co-conspirator of the deadly virus.
If he does not acknowledge that, then he is facilitating the virus. He is enabling the virus. How did this become a political statement?
In New Jersey, summer youth camps will reopen. Governor Phil Murphy also says outdoor graduations can be held for the class of 2020. Murphy once again stressed the importance of wearing face masks.
We all need to be wearing face coverings, even when it's a hot day like today. COVID-19 doesn't care about the weather. It only cares about finding another person to infect. Don't be a willing host. Wear a face covering, self-quarantine if you've been to a coronavirus hotspot, and get tested.
Governor Ned Lamont says Connecticut will delay Phase 3 of its reopening indefinitely to avoid the COVID-19 resurgences other states are seeing. Atlanta's mayor says she has tested positive for COVID-19 despite having what she describes as no symptoms. Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms.
My symptoms have been like my seasonal allergy symptoms. I've had a headache the past few days and just, you know, a little dry cough, but that's not unusual because I have that with my allergies, which are just about year-round in Atlanta.
The 50-year-old Democrat is among the women named as a potential running mate for presumptive presidential nominee Joe Biden. A white woman walking her dog who called police during a viral dispute with a black man in Central Park was charged with filing a false report. In May, Amy Cooper called 911 to report she was being threatened by an African-American man when birdwatcher Christian Cooper appeared to keep his distance. The publisher of a tell-all book about President Trump by his niece says it will be released next week. Simon & Schuster's announcement means the book by Mary Trump will be available for readers on July 14th, 2 weeks earlier than planned. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's just before 6:36 on Wall Street, and time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashow.
Thanks, Nathan. Normally when a baseball schedule comes out, a fan might want to then think about what games to attend. Can't go this year. But the schedule for games without fans is out, as had been reported. First game of the season, about 4 months later. 2 weeks from Thursday, the Yankees in Washington to face the defending World Series champs. Should be a great pitching matchup of Garrett Cole and his Yankees debut against Max Scherzer. The Mets open up the following night at home against Atlanta. Mets and Yankees will face off over consecutive weekends in late August, first at Citi Field and then in the Bronx. Patrick Mahomes has already thrown 50 touchdown passes and won an MVP and then won the first Super Bowl for Kansas City in 50 years. And now he's the highest paid player in the NFL, the highest in any sport. 10-year extension with the Chiefs, $477 million guaranteed, plus a no-trade clause. They didn't have to do this. Mahomes had 2 years left on his rookie contract. Jets safety Jamal Adams came in the same year as Mahomes. He's been looking for a new deal, and the Jets seem in no hurry. NFL training camps are to open in a few weeks, but Packers president Mark Murphy admits to uncertainty about the season, the facing of difficult decisions. He says the NFL is the league that had just finished the season, had the benefit of time. But that time is no longer on their side. The opt-outs continue. Atlanta Braves outfielder Nick Markakis taking a pass. Washington Wizards all-star Bradley Beal says he will travel with his teammates to Orlando today, but still hasn't decided whether to actually play the games. And the Dallas MLS team, with 10 players having tested positive, will not take part in the MLS's back tournament that starts Thursday in Orlando. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
There's still a gaping hole in the economy. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The U.S. economy added millions of jobs in May and June as employers called back workers from coronavirus-induced layoffs. But measure from February, when this strange, awful adventure began, and payroll employment is still down by 14.7 million, or almost 10%. About a third of those job losses are in leisure and hospitality, restaurants, hotels, spectator sports, theaters, gyms. Other hard-hit industries include motion pictures, clothing stores, and ground and air transportation. I could see movie production jobs coming back soon. Movie theater jobs, not so much. And most of those other sectors aren't going to be at full employment until the threat from COVID-19 has receded. The U.S. economy isn't really coming back until everybody thinks it's safe to go out again. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
Concerns over climate change have prompted scientists to gather at a glacier in the Italian Alps. The scientists are gathering samples of the ice after parts of the glacier turned pink. An expert at Italy's National Research Council told The Guardian that the color is caused by a type of algae. The algae itself is not dangerous, but it's more commonly found in Greenland's so-called dark zone. It has also shown up on a glacier in Switzerland. What worries scientists is that anything that darkens snow, even slightly, causes the snow to melt faster. Ice normally reflects more than 80% of the sun's radiation back into the atmosphere. Less radiation is reflected by darkened ice. Water from the ice and air provide hospitable conditions for the algae, and more of it grows. Scientists are studying the algae to help quantify the effect of phenomena other than human presence on the overheating of the Earth. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. Coming up on the economic front, we get data on job openings at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Economists surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting job openings fell in May for the fourth month in a row. The prior report showed job openings dropped to 5 million in April, the lowest since 2014. Job openings reached a record high of 7.5 million in January 2019 and averaged about 7 million for all of last year. With virus cases flaring in many places, it's likely the U.S. labor market faces a long, long recovery. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Vinny, thank you. Looking at the futures this morning, a bit of a pullback with S&P futures down 25 points, Dow futures lower by 244, NASDAQ futures lower by 45 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burton serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burtonllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We continue to watch shares of Novavax. They are up 42% in early trading after it was awarded $1.6 billion in U.S. funding to support large-scale manufacturing of its coronavirus vaccine candidate. Futures, meanwhile, moving lower. S&P futures down 26 points. Dow futures down 253. NASDAQ futures are down 50. This is after the NASDAQ rose to a record yesterday. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.33%, down 55 cents at $40.08 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $9.10 at $17.84.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1278 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2490. And the yen's at 107.69. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Dr. Anthony Fauci says any vaccine developed to ward off COVID-19 would likely be limited in how long it would shield against infection. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says we're still knee-deep in the first wave of the pandemic. More than 130,000 people in the U.S. have died from the virus. President Trump says he opposes renaming the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Indians, dismissing as politically correct efforts to change what many view as offensive references to Native Americans. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 648 on Wall Street. Now time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump and the First Lady taking part in an afternoon roundtable on safely reopening schools during the pandemic. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg will meet with civil rights groups today that have organized an ad boycott of the social media giant. And Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says he's going to be sitting out the Republican National Convention next month due to the pandemic. Also making news, the U.S. response to COVID-19 now raising questions about America's standing on the global stage. Let's get more on that now from Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Of course, the U.S. now leads the world when it comes to COVID-19 infections and deaths. What is that doing to the U.S. on a global scale?
Well, I think it's really calling into question, some of the U.S.'s standing overseas. We've seen things like the travel ban that the European Union put into place last week, saying that U.S. tourists essentially can't travel to Europe for the, foreseeable future for the time being, given the rate of infections in the U.S. I think that, that is something that's going to be an essential dynamic to watch going forward because it could impact, the rate of the U.S. recovery. Obviously, the Trump administration has been touting the job numbers because they were not as bad as some people had potentially expected. But, whatever kind of recovery happens in the U.S. is going to have to happen in tandem with recoveries elsewhere. And so I think it's important for Americans to kind of keep their eyes on the global stage as well and not just look at what's happening domestically, but look at how what is happening domestically is influencing the U.S.'s standing in the world.
Is that sort of playing into what we've seen just this week, that the White House was due to host a trilateral meeting on the newly ratified U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, but now it turns out that only Mexico's president is coming to Washington tomorrow, and the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, is sitting it out.
Yeah, that's a pretty big embarrassment for the Trump administration. Canada is has traditionally been one of the U.S.'s closest allies. So the idea that, the Trump administration would extend this sort of an invitation and be turned down by the Canadian Prime Minister is pretty significant, particularly when it comes to a topic like the, North American Free Trade Agreement, because that's something that Trump, really wants to be able to campaign on and really point to as an accomplishment of his first term. And it takes some of the wind out of his sails if one of the partners in that trilateral agreement doesn't, declines to come to Washington to help sort of mark its passage.
Of course, the president has been criticized in some circles for, raising questions about traditional alliances with the U.S., particularly NATO and other multilateral arrangements. How does the COVID crisis sort of exacerbate that? Or, is it just more of the same?
Well, I think the issue that the U.S. is facing now when it comes to, the COVID crisis essentially being layered over the policy of the last 3.5 years is what's happening is that we're seeing a situation where the U.S. is, unfortunately, a leader when it comes to the rate of infections. Other countries have done a much better job or been much more successful in getting their COVID-19 rates under control. And so I think the problem for the U.S. now is that the U.S. is sort of winning this, this dubious distinction that no country really wants. And so it's a lot easier for the U.S. to sort of exert pressure on its allies or be critical of its allies when it's, got the strongest economy, when it's doing well. When the U.S. is falling behind as it is at this moment when it comes to COVID-19, that becomes a lot more of a tricky situation because the U.S. doesn't have as much leverage as it used to.
All right, let's move on to another interesting story. The Biden campaign, Joe Biden's campaign, working in tandem with the Democratic National Committee in a way that we really haven't seen in some time.
Yeah, and it's an interesting sort of outgrowth of, this very unusual campaign cycle that we've seen. Going back to 2008, we saw very protracted primary contests on the Democratic side, both when, Barack Obama was running for the first time in 2008, and then again in 2016 when Hillary Clinton was running, and there was a lot of, sort of discord between her campaign and the DNC. We're not seeing that this time around, and that is something that could potentially work to Biden's benefit. We saw the primary, thinking back as to how March unfolded, we saw Super Tuesday, where Biden essentially, really made some headway in terms of clinching the nomination. Before that, before South Carolina, which was a couple weeks before Super Tuesday, people were talking about maybe he was out of the race. But that all, did a quick about face, in the days leading up to and then after Super Tuesday and then as the lockdowns went into place across the U.S. And so I think what we're seeing now is a much more quickly resolved primary contest and the Democratic Party really kind of unifying to the extent that, to a greater extent that we've seen at least behind Biden. And I think that is a significant development that could work to his benefit.
All right. Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. You can read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by the New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. More than 200 scientists have called for the World Health Organization to acknowledge the coronavirus can spread in the air, a change that could alter current measures being taken to stop the pandemic. In a letter published this week in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases, two scientists from Australia and the U.S. wrote that studies have shown beyond any reasonable doubt that viruses are released during exhalation, talking, and coughing in microdroplets small enough to remain aloft in the air. That means people in certain indoor conditions could be at greater risk of infection than previously thought. Apple says it is assessing that new national security law imposed on Hong Kong. The measure has sparked concern about criminalizing protests. Apple says that since the law took effect last week, it has not received any requests for Hong Kong user data. And finally, meet Congonophon, Kelly, a pocket-sized animal smaller than your cell phone. The creature, which predated dinosaurs and flying pterosaurs, was just shy of 4 inches tall, according to a study published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The fossils dug up in Madagascar dates from 237 million years ago, and scientists figured the little guy was an adult because of growth rings in its bones. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report at 6:55 on Wall Street. Now here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, Dennis Brown is a legendary name in martial arts. He's the man behind Dennis Brown Shaolin Wushu Training Center in Maryland. The pandemic forced him to close, and Dennis has been trying to pivot with martial arts classes online. Dennis, pleasure to talk with you. It's certainly not like a class in person, but how's it going so far?
Well, at first I had to learn how to use Zoom. I had to learn what Zoom was. And first time I saw a screen with like 47 people on it, I got shook up because I'm teaching from my living room.
It's a little intimidating, I got to admit.
And people were coming in that I hadn't even thought. We had 6, 7, 8 classes a week, kids and adults and meditation and Tai Chi, and business is adjusting.
Did you have specific challenges as a result of being a minority-owned business?
We did have somewhat of a problem with that because our students, a lot of them just were at jobs where they were barely making ends meet as it was. And so that did affect the school in some ways.
Do you have any better clarity on when the doors can reopen since you're classified as a gym?
Well, we thought it was going to be a month ago, and then they said gyms could open up. Well, first we had to find out what we were, because they didn't say karate schools or kung fu schools. They said gyms. Well, I've got like 40-some steps of things that I sent out to the students we're going to be doing, and I think that's going to allow us to open up hopefully within a week or two in some level.
All right. Run out of time there, Dennis. Thanks a lot. Dennis Brown of the Dennis Brown Shaolin Wushu Training Center. Thanks very much. Best of luck. And here on Bloomberg Radio, we're going to continue bringing you stories of small businesses trying to adapt during the pandemic every day at this time. I'm John Tucker. That's your Bloomberg Small Business Report, Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. S&P futures down 29 points this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moskow, and this is Bloomberg.